back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today with me I have Jean Hyman. She's a Catholic author, a freelance writer with an MA in theology, a parish minister and a speaker, a psychologist and educator, and an oblate with the community of St. John. She's a member of the Blue Army and the founder of Our Lady of Fatima Rosary and Study Group. She's the author of Seven Saints for Seven Virtues, released in 2014, and Learning to Love with the Saints, a Spiritual Memoir, released in 2016. Jean has had her work published in numerous Catholic periodicals and on Catholic websites, some of which include National Catholic Register, Catholic Exchange, Canticle Magazine, and St. Anthony Messenger. Thank you so much for joining with us, Jean, today. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing well. And the reason for our interview today is about your newest book from St. Benedict Press called Fatima, The Apparition That Changed the World. And I got to say, Jean, this is a beautiful book. Full color printing, nice heavy pages, just a pure joy to read and look at as you're holding it. And it's not a massive book. It's a good book to carry along. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of this book, shall we? So
Yes. Let's
talk about your new book. What exactly is it about?
Well, in my book, Fatima, The Apparition That Changed the World, I recount the story of Fatima, the appearance of the Blessed Virgin Mary, six times between May 13th and October 13th, 1917, at Cova da Iria near Fatima, Portugal, to three shepherd children, Lucia dos Santos and her cousins, Francisco and Jacinto Marto. Mary told the children that she was sent from heaven by God with an urgent message for humanity. At that time, World War I was raging and Europe was being torn apart by violence and bloodshed. Our Lady promised that God would grant peace to the world if her call for prayer, reparation, and universal consecration to her Immaculate Heart were honored. The Blessed Virgin emphasized to the seers and to the world at large, if what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. However, if it were ignored, a far greater war and conflict would occur. War, Our Lady of Fatima explained, is a punishment for sin. She cautioned that God would chastise the world for its continued disobedience to his love through war and the persecution of the Church, the Holy Father, and the faithful. Our Lady prophesied that Russia would be God's instrument of chastisement, spreading atheism and materialism across the earth, provoking wars, annihilating nations, and persecuting the faithful. And humanity's only hope was to repent and return to God.
Right.
In my book, I present a comprehensive look at the Fatima apparitions. I offer a chronological timeline describing each of the apparitions in detail. I trace the lives of the three visionaries, as well as the death and the beatification of Jacinta and Francisco Marto, and reveal the ongoing message of Fatima for the past 100 years. I also share a history of the various popes from 1917 to the present and describe their relationship with Fatima, as well as some of the modern-day miracles that have happened since then. I also explain why the Fatima message is relevant to us today and how we can put it into practice.
Good stuff. So you've basically taken this and you've put everything in a nutshell in this book about Fatima. What prompted you to write about Fatima, other than obviously it's the 100-year anniversary? Was there anything else that interested you in Fatima that you wanted to write about it?
Well, about 20 years ago, I made my consecration to Jesus through Mary. I was just beginning to grow in Marian devotion at that time. Although when I was a child, we prayed the rosary daily, and my mother was always turning to her Heavenly Mother in times of trial. The Brothers of St. John attracted me to their community through the Marian consecration via the St. Louis de Montfort method, which they taught in a group setting providing spiritual guidance. I was then drawn to become an oblate with the community of St. John in Princeville, Illinois, and to entrust my life even deeper to the Blessed Virgin Mary at that time. As a child, I grew up in a small French-Canadian town in northeastern Illinois, and I was well acquainted with Our Lady of Lourdes. Every day after school, I visited the Lourdes Grotto behind our parish church and prayed there, sharing my concerns with the Blessed Mother. I learned about the Fatima apparitions, but they didn't stick with me the way the Lourdes apparitions did. Mm-hmm. I do remember watching the 1952 movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which that left a deep impression on me. As an adult, I became reacquainted with Fatima by watching E.W. Chan, and I decided to join the Blue Army, which my husband was already a member of, and through this organization began practicing the First Saturday devotions and praying the rosary daily. About a year ago, I realized that 2017 would be the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions, and I thought this would be an interesting topic to write about. So last fall, I founded the Our Lady of Fatima Rosary and Study Group in my parish, and we began meeting in my home where we studied the Fatima apparitions and prayed the rosary.
Got it. So a couple questions there. Some things you mentioned that some of us may not be familiar with. What exactly are the First Saturday devotions?
Yes, the First Saturday devotions are, Our Lady asked the children to, she asked Lucia to promote the First Saturday devotions to promote them and to practice them. The reason why she had five First Saturdays was for the five different offenses and blasphemies that are practiced against the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. For example, these include the offenses or blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception, to denial or ridicule the Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, that she had relations with Joseph and had other children, against her divine maternity, refusing at the same time to accept her as the mother of mankind, to deny that she's the mother of God and our mother, the implantation into children's hearts of indifference, contempt, and even hate against our Immaculate Mother, and insults directed against her sacred images, displays of indifference or ridicule, and the infliction of damage to them. What Our Lady asks to make reparation for these offenses against her Immaculate Heart is to go to confession, to receive Holy Communion worthily, and to pray five decades of the Rosary, and to pray the Rosary. In addition to praying the Rosary, we need to meditate for an additional 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary. Hmm. We need to do this for the first five Saturdays of every month.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to take a little deeper look at the study group you started in your parish and how people might be able to do that in their own. So we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger, today here with Jean Hyman and discussing her book Fatima, The Apparition That Changed the World. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic Book Club blogger. We are here today with Jean Hyman talking about Fatima and her book, Fatima, the Apparition That Changed the World. And Jean, we left off last segment. You had briefly discussed and touched upon the fact that you had started a study group, a Fatima Rosary and study group in your own parish. What does that all encompass, and how can someone bring a similar devotion and study group into their own parish?
Well, basically what I did is I met with my pastor, and he's the one who suggested that I meet with the people in my home because I wanted to do something. I wanted to develop my own program, and that's basically what I did. I summarized each apparition.
Okay.
And I did it over a period of like 2 months. We met weekly over a period of 2 months, and I wrote questions that stimulated thought and reflection on each of the apparitions and other information regarding Fatima that I have in my book.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed that as it relates to our own life. We prayed the rosary, and we prayed individually for one another's needs. That's basically what the group was. We met for about, probably an hour and a half each week.
Hmm. Okay. Good stuff.
But I basically developed my own program
right.
for that.
Right. So it's pretty much something anybody can do if they have the devotion to Fatima and want to help others in their parish do the same.
Sure.
So in the course of writing this book, you know, Peter Kraft, I was at a talk of his about 2 months ago where he made a comment that if you were interested in a topic, the way to become an expert in it is to write a book about it. So what did you learn from writing this book, and how did what you learned change you?
Okay. Well, I basically learned what a powerful apparition Fatima is. I was familiar with it, but as I dug deeper into it, I began to realize how powerful it was. The conversion of the world and world peace are dependent on our fidelity to the prayers, the Fatima prayers and devotions. Because it's through this devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Immaculate Heart, as well as through the recitation of the rosary, that we will experience an end to the culture of death mm-hmm. and obtain world peace. Pope John Paul II has stated that the message of Fatima is even more relevant today mm-hmm. than it was when it was given to the visionaries in 1917. I also learned about the details of the wonderful miracles that have taken place in connection with Fatima since the initial apparition in 1917.
Gotcha.
You know, it's just basically helped me to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with our Blessed Mother and to be more faithful to the devotions of Fatima.
Right. You know, the one thing I find interesting about the whole Fatima apparition, you know, it happened 100 years ago. Obviously, we're celebrating the 100th year anniversary. But time means nothing to God. Time means nothing to Mary when she appeared to those three shepherd children. And you mentioned that Pope John Paul made the statement that Fatima was needed probably more today, even more so than what it was then. I mean, we're living in a broken society. I think everybody recognizes that. What are your thoughts on the importance and relevance of Fatima to us today?
Well, today we're basically facing the greatest spiritual battle of our time. You look at radical secularism, which has become the new communism in our Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, secularism seeks to remove religion from the public square, to steal our religious freedoms, and to weaken the sanctity of human life by promoting abortion and attacking the basic tenets of Christian morality, particularly in regards to marriage and the family life. And when Pope John, in 1976, at the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia, the future Pope St. John Paul II made a prophetic statement. He said, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced."
Mm-hmm.
"I do not think that the wide circle of the American society or the whole wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. The confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial which the church must take up and face courageously."
Yeah, and to think about that was said in 1976. 30 years later,
right.
Look at where we're at. So,
it's very true today.
Yep. You briefly mentioned there a few minutes ago about modern miracles that you found while you were writing about the book. What can you share some of those miracles with us that people may not be familiar with?
Yeah, there are a number of miracles that have taken place. In my book, I mentioned three that struck me. The miracle at Hiroshima. You know, on August 6, 1945, a B-29 bomber dropped the first atomic bomb in Japan. And this bomb exploded like eight blocks away from the Jesuits' church and where they lived. And this group of Jesuits was just right close to the epicenter of the attack on Hiroshima. But miraculously, they survived the catastrophe. Hmm. And this radiation that had killed thousands in the months after the dropping of this atomic bomb had no effect on them. And experts were just amazed that the priest had even survived. The physicians who treated them following this disaster warned them that the radiation they received would produce serious lacerations as well as disease and an early death. But none of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of this happened to them. And the reason was they were very devoted to the message of Fatima, and they were living it out in their lives. They prayed the rosary every single day.
Okay, so that's one.
That was the first one. The second one I discuss in my book is the miracle of that Pope Pius XII experienced. He witnessed the miracle of the sun four times. The first time, it was 1950. He was walking in the Vatican Gardens, and upon reaching the statue of Our Lady, he just became awestruck by something, by the sun. And the sun, which was very high in the sky, began to look like a pale, opaque sphere, entirely surrounded by a luminous circle. He was able to look out at the sun without it bothering him, and he was able to see the sun spinning in the sky. And this happened to him like on four separate occasions between the 31st of October and November 1st.
Wow.
And then it happened. And it was the 31st of October, November 1st, the day of the dogma of the Assumption, and again on November 8th.
Interesting. And there's one more, right? One more miracle?
Right. That is with St. Pio of Petrichino, St. Padre Pio.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he was one of the great mystics of the 20th century. And he was a man of poor health and much suffering. And throughout his life, he had promoted Marian devotion. He encouraged others to pray the rosary and offer up their sufferings to Jesus through Our Lady. And in 1959, the pilgrim statue of Mary, of Our Lady, of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, had come from Fatima to Italy by helicopter, stopped at the local capitals. And Padre Pio, who was living at San Giovanni Rotondo, was unable to go places that the statue had appeared, and he was very ill with pleurisy at this time, which made him impossible for him to even celebrate Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But the statue arrived on like August 5th, 1959, and from his sick bed on July 27th, he announced the beginning of Novena, and he urged everyone around in his flock to prepare for the arrival of the statue. Every evening, he reminded them of the joy, the blessings, and the special graces of this visit. So on the morning of August 6th, he was finally able to get up and make a quick visit to the church, and he stopped in front of the statue of Our Lady to rest. He gave her a gold rosary, and the statue was lowered before his face so he could kiss her. It was just a gesture of great affection for his Heavenly Mother. And that afternoon, between 2 and 3, the helicopter just headed for Sicily. It was gone, and he was so sad. He was so disappointed at her departure because he never got to see her. He never got to experience the blessings. And then suddenly, he felt this chill in his body and began to shake. He realized Our Lady had cured him. And he was stronger and healthier than he'd ever been before in his life. He experienced a complete healing from the statue being there.
Awesome. So that's a great story about St. Padre Pio, one of my favorite saints. And with that, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. We're discussing Fatima, the Apparition That Changed the World, a new book from Jean Hyman, published by St. Benedict Press. Talking about Fatima and the new book Fatima, The Apparition That Changed the World by author Jean Hyman. And we've covered a lot of ground so far, Jean, but I wanted to ask you, as you were writing this book, and again, I'm gonna tell everybody it's an excellent book, great resource. If you're unfamiliar with Fatima, and even if you need a refresher on Fatima, this is a good book, beautiful book, full collar, nice stuff. What did you enjoy most about writing this book?
I enjoyed using my imagination and my five senses in depicting the apparitions. I enjoyed viewing things from the vantage point of the children, the Angel of Peace, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the other characters in the book. For example, I loved writing about the spectacular miracle of the sun, describing the wide array of the colors of the sun and the earth and how the sun was seen as a silver disk and began spinning around. I imagine how beautiful and frightening it must have been at the same time. In my mind's eye, I put myself in that crowd of spectators watching the sun fall from the sky, fearing that this was the end of the world and hearing those around me confessing their sins out loud and begging for mercy. It was just a fascinating experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting when you can get into a topic like that. And, you know, you're in a sense doing some Lectio Divina while writing, putting yourself in the situation and bringing it from your mind's eye to the pages. And I want to thank you for doing that because it's an excellent book. You know, one thing that I think some of us might not consider is the fact that we have the recorded apparitions from Fatima. They were designated a miracle by the church. But Lucia who was the only surviving child from the three. The other two died young, which Mary told them that would happen. Lucia continued to get visions of Mary throughout her life, didn't she?
Yes. Lucia's mission was to spread devotion to Fatima. Our Lady, in the second Fatima apparition, Our Lady had asked her to learn to read. And she wanted her to read to spread devotion to her Immaculate Heart, which was, you know, her mission in life. And she did that later on. At the age of 14, she entered boarding school at the Convent of the Sisters of St. Dorothy at Vilar in northern Portugal. And she took on a false name, a false identity. Maria Das Dores was the name she used. And that was because she had so many people, you know, just like bombarding her with questions about the Fatima apparitions. And she needed some privacy. At least that's what her bishop thought, and he recommended that she go there. So she learned to read, as Our Lady requested in the June 13th apparition. And then in 1925, at the age of 18, she became a postulant at the Convent of the Sisters of St. Dorothy in Pontevedra, Spain. And she made her perpetual vows in 1934. But during that time, she had a number of private revelations. Lucia's private revelations began in 1925 when she was a postulant. At that time, in 1925, December 10th, 1925, she saw Our Lady with the Christ Jesus by her side at a room in the convent. And Our Lady showed Lucia her heart, which was covered with thorns caused by the offenses and the sins of men. And Our Lady then, it was at that time that Our Lady requested the five first Saturdays in reparation to her Immaculate Heart. And she promised to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first five consecutive Saturday of five consecutive months would go to confession, receive Holy Communion, recite the rosary, and keep her company for a quarter of an hour while meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the intention of making reparation to her. That was the first time she appeared privately to Lucia. The second time was the child Jesus appeared to Lucia when she was at Pontevedra, Spain, and she asked Lucia, again, to spread the devotion of the first five Saturdays. Then in 1927, Our Lord appeared to Lucia again. And at that time, she had asked her, she was trying to spread the devotion, but she was having some difficulty with that because her superiors were asking her a lot of questions about the first five Saturday devotions. And she wanted to know, she asked Our Lord, how she could do this without divulging the third secret. And Our Lady of Fatima in 1929 again appeared to Sister Lucia and at Toy Spain. And she appeared to her in the visible presence of the Holy Trinity. And she asked for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And Our Lady promised the conversion of Russia to prevent war in the future and the spread of communism if two conditions were met. First, if there was reparation made via the first five Saturdays. And second, if the Holy Father, in union with all the bishops of the world, would consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then in 1930, Sister Lucia spoke with Our Lord in the chapel at Toy, Spain, and she was getting a lot of questions from her superiors about why the first five Saturdays. Well, at that time, our Lord revealed five kinds of blasphemies and offenses spoken against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which mm-hmm. we discussed earlier.
Yep. Isn't it funny how you have these monumental things occur in church history, like the devotion of the first five Saturdays, and there's always, and even, you know, we talked about Padre Pio himself earlier, there's always some pushback, some resistance to people accepting it.
It just seems like it takes so long for the church to investigate and verify things.
Right. Right. And
that,
I guess in due course.
That's important.
Yes.
It's important that that is done.
Correct. So we've been talking about your book here on Fatima, and who is your target audience when you wrote this? Who were you writing to when you wrote the book?
Well, I wrote this book for adults and adolescents, at least it's at that reading level, and both Catholics and non-Catholics who want to learn more about the Fatima apparitions, put its message into practice and have a beautiful family keepsake to treasure for years to come mm-hmm. in honor of the centenary of the Fatima apparitions. This book isn't necessarily restricted to the centenary year. It's going to be a keepsake, and it's going to be good for beyond the centenary year for anyone who wants to learn more about the Fatima apparitions.
Right. Like I said, it's a very good book, good overview of the apparitions themselves, and you're correct. This isn't just focused on the 100-year anniversary. It's focused on the entire legacy of Fatima, shall we say.
Right.
So it can be used as a resource for years to come. How does your book, one more question in this segment while I still have some time. How do you think your book can help people increase their devotion to Fatima, and what benefits can people gain from a deeper devotion in the Fatima apparitions?
Well, I've had, you know, a reviewer who told me that this book changed her life. And I believe this book helps the reader learn to live the Fatima message of prayer, penance, and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Okay.
It draws everyone who peruses it into a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Mother of God and helps them perform a crucial role in changing the world from a culture of death to a culture of life.
Good stuff, and very important stuff for the day and age we live in today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Gene, we're going to discuss your other two books so that people have an idea of what else you have out there that they may be interested in. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Pete Sox, the Catholic Book Club. Here on Breadbox Media, I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic Book Blogger. We've been spending today with Gene Hyman, the author of Fatima, the Apparition That Changed the World. We covered a lot of ground on this book. Gene, is there anything else you want to mention to us about the book before we move on to your other two titles?
Yes. I want to mention that it's a beautiful book. It's put together with over 70 color illustrations, mm-hmm. beautiful paintings and photographs that really enhance the story.
Yeah, and that is a good point, Gene. It's a beautiful book. It's not just a just printed words. It's got tons of pictures in it, and it really makes it stand out as a nice book, as a keepsake, as you mentioned last segment. So you also have two other books I'd like to talk about today, give you an opportunity to give us an idea of what they are. The first one was released in 2014 by Servant Books. It's Seven Saints for Seven Virtues. Can you tell us a little bit about that title?
Yes. Seven Saints for Seven Virtues is my first published book, and in it I discuss the seven specific virtues, and I match them up with saints. For example, I've got the seven saints include Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and she was a model of charity.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Agnes, who was a model of chastity. Saint John Paul II, one of my favorites, mm-hmm. who's a model of diligence. Saint Joseph, a model of humility. Saint Catherine of Siena, model of kindness. Saint Monica was a model of patience. And Saint Augustine, a model of temperance. Now, what I did in each chapter, I start off discussing the virtue. Okay, no. Actually, I start off with quotes about from different saints about the virtue. Then I go into a biography of that specific saint.
Okay.
And then I define the virtue. And after I define the virtue, I go into presenting modern day examples. I tell how that saint lived out the virtue in their life. Then I discuss modern day examples of saints, and I also discuss how we can acquire that specific virtue.
Hmm. Interesting. And it's important, I think, as well, that people have an understanding that just how important the virtues are. I mean, they're the guideposts for our life, for leading productive Christian lives.
And I think it's important that they know that while the saints were definitely holy, they struggled to become virtuous.
Yes.
And they wrestled with the same temptations and sins just like you and I do. They had problems with their in-laws, worries about finances. They had sorrow over their children who had gone astray, who left the church. These holy witnesses help to guide us on our own spiritual journey. And they've come before us on the path. They've navigated successfully, and they're now in heaven for all eternity. So we can certainly learn from them. And in this book, you learn concrete ways of how to live the virtues in your life, just like they did, and how to overcome sin and vice.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And again, you know, you mentioned about the saints. Now they're in heaven. They've faced these trials. They've done what needs to be done. They've won the race, and now they're our cheerleaders. So I always think that's a neat analogy. So the other title you have out, I think we'd like to mention here, is the book Learning to Love with the Saints, a Spiritual Memoir. Can you tell us a bit about that one?
Well, in this book, of course, it's a spiritual memoir, and I illustrate how the saints' examples not only increase our faith, but they give us the strength we need in difficult times. I talk about my own life and the trials that I've experienced, and I illustrate how suffering can be transformed into love as we take the hands of our heavenly companions and journey with the saints through these times of trial and hardship. And I show how we can learn to love the most difficult people in our lives and go through difficult circumstances by modeling our lives after the virtues exemplified by the saints. I also discuss my own conversion experience and how the saints had a part in that experience.
So how did these saints end up infecting you personally that you ended up writing this book? I've seen this book. I've actually read it a few years ago when it first came out. But what was your experience that caused you to write this book, to share that personal witness with readers?
I really felt that my own trials and sufferings could, by sharing these, I could help other people. This is basically my own love story with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I share in this book how the saints have influenced me in my perception of love, how it has expanded by learning more about them and by praying to them. I mean, asking them to intercede for me
right.
in specific trials in my life and how they have come through for me. And, you know, God's love has transformed me in my life in ways I could have never imagined. Many times in my life I made some poor decisions, but his love and his mercy always drew me back to him. The encouragement and the inspiration of the saints helped me understand this love and helped and motivated me to grow more deeply and intimately in love with God. And I just was drawn to the truth through my relationship with the saints, whom I consider close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to cultivate a deeper, more personal union with God through them.
Yeah.
And I share my story,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help others who may have, like me, have gotten lost along the way in their search for love and truth and yearn to come back to their Catholic faith. I was away for 15 years.
Wow. Well, welcome
home.
Oh,
thank you. I came back in the late 80s. So I've been back a while,
mm-hmm.
but I was gone for quite a while, too.
That's interesting. A book like that, I think, is a very good tool, and it speaks volumes of you as an author that you took the time and were able to open yourself up in that manner to share your story with others so that they can benefit from your experience as well.
Yes.
So, we are about, go ahead.
Some of the saints, I wanted to mention that mm-hmm. some of the saints I mentioned were like St. John, who, you know, has become a very close friend, and St. John, I'm a member, an oblate with the community of St. John,
mm-hmm.
and St. Sally and Louis Martin, St. Therese's parents, St. Catherine of Siena. I think I talk about St. Therese in here.
Mm-hmm.
St. Charbel. Blessed John Henry Newman. And I pray to these saints every day. Mm-hmm. I have my own litany of saints. I mean, I ask for their intercession every day, and my husband and I pray a litany to the saints.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome. Great idea. Of incorporating the saints into our daily lives and our daily routines to keep people grounded. I think that's a good example, Gene. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Well, you're welcome.
So we are about out of time. I want to give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find your work and how they can get copies of all three of these books, Fatima, The Apparition That Changed the World, Learning to Love with the Saints, a Spiritual Memoir, and Seven Saints for Seven Virtues.
Okay, I'll start off with my newest one,
all
Fatima,
right.
The Apparition That Changed the World. You can get that at janbooks.com.
Okay.
Or stbenedictpress.com.
All right.
And you could also find it on Amazon and at most Catholic bookstores. If your Catholic bookstore doesn't have it yet, please ask them to order it.
Yep.
And my book, Seven Saints for Seven Virtues, can be found at Servant Books or Franciscan Media.
Mm-hmm.
And, or Amazon.
Right.
And my book, Learning to Love with the Saints, a spiritual memoir, can be found on Amazon.
Everything can be found on Amazon, can't it?
Yes.
Okay, Jean, I want to thank you for spending time with us today, taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about your book. Any closing thoughts before we leave?
Oh, I wanted to also share my website.
Okay, go right ahead.
My website is jeanmhyman.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook at Jean M. Hyman. And I'm on Twitter at Catholic Fire. Catholic Fire is my blog. I've been blogging for nearly 14 years now.
Wow. All right. Excellent. So, again, thanks, Jean, for spending the time with us. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.